If you avoided blow anger and you didn't go to no anger, but you had slow anger, God bless you. And that's a phrase from Tim Keller, just to be very clear. So as I said, tonight we're rewarded for getting through lust with the topic of gossip and slander. And you might be thinking, oh, phew, that is absolutely not me at all. I'm clear on this one. I can sort of relax and look forward to Brother Craig coming up. But you know, my friends, man, you wouldn't believe what they are like. In fact, just the other day, as we were talking, it just... And so that's what I thought when I started studying this. I thought, you know, let's take a break from conviction. A lot of the topics I was finding, you know, too much blessing. And I thought, let's go to gossip. Let's go to slander, something I can take a break from. And lo and behold, as I'm studying through and looking at the scope of the topic, guilty here and there, and not as innocent as I had thought. So our working definition is competence. This is a definition of wisdom. It's competence to navigate life in the best ways according to God's character and will. And with respect to gossip and slander, here's a tagline for us. It comes from Proverbs. Where there is no wood, a fire goes out. So remember that. Every time you see a piece of wood or somebody says, is that solid wood? Or you see wood out in the wood, then think about gossip. Where there is no wood, a fire goes out. That's a tagline from the book of Proverbs. So to wisely avoid gossip and slander, here's some things we must do. Number one, recognize sinful gossip. Number two, adopt God's view of it. Thirdly, avoid its destructive effects, and to be aware of what they are. And fourthly, the response, what we do instead when gossip arises in me or I'm listening to somebody else, is to cover it in love. Let's read our texts. I'll read through these. They're almost mostly from Proverbs, a little bit later on from the New Testament. Beginning in Proverbs 16, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. And from the law of Moses in Leviticus, do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Back to Proverbs. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. There's our N plus one poetry. Here they are. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. To Psalm 15, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? The one whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others. Proverbs 10, whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Proverbs 18, the mouths of fools are their undoing and their lips are a snare to their very lives. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. James 3 and verse 6, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. And now to the words of the Lord in Matthew. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. These defile them. And also in Matthew 12, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Psalm 34, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Chapter 26, here's our tagline, where there is no wood, a fire goes out, and where there is no gossip, contention ceases. Chapter 20, the one who goes about gossiping reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with someone who is always opening his mouth. Chapter 17, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Chapter 12, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. And finally, in Ephesians 4, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So our first thing we need to do to wisely avoid gossip and slander is to recognize what the Bible is talking about as sinful gossip. In our modern vocabulary, gossip is sometimes, you know, kind of a tintillating entertainment news of the rich and famous and how their lives are imploding and to hear who did what to whom. And in our culture, this is like harmless fun. It's entertainment, serves them right. They wanted the public life. They got it. And we get to watch it. And the Bible is, as usual, is very clear that certain harmless, you know, looking at certain things in a harmless way and news in a neutral way, that's one thing. But to gossip in a sinful way is very harmful and damaging. So what's the Bible's definition and meaning? And what we find is that there's a lot of words. There's seven Hebrew words and four New Testament Greek words that describe behaviors we can classify as sinful gossip. And they're translated in many different ways. As I was reading through, mostly from the NIV, a little bit ESV or the NET Bible, you might have seen, if you were looking in your text, a different word. And these words have flexible meanings, but there's this many words that are translated. And they are used about 57 times to describe gossip activity. And by contrast, it's interesting that the word love and all of its different forms in the Old and New Testaments occurs about 780 times, and so 57 is 7% of that. So I'm glad there's a lot more love in the Bible than gossip, but it's still a lot of gossip. There's a lot of attention on this word, important for us to pay attention to. And here are the various typical meanings of these words. The big ones, of course, are gossip, slander, but also to speak evil of, or to speak against, or to backbite, or to talebear, or to whisper something about somebody. And the words appear in these different forms in many times. And so to come up with a working definition, this is my version of it as I've looked at many of these references in the Old and the New Testaments. And to me, there are three main ingredients of what sinful gossip and slander is from the Bible. And I'm including slander in under the category of gossip here. We'll look at that in a moment. But sinful gossip is communicating about someone behind their back in a harmful way. So three ingredients. Sinful gossip is communicating about someone behind their back in a harmful way. So it's relaying information, and it doesn't have to just be verbal. It can be digital. It can be in any form. It can be facial expressions. It can be the rolling of the eyes looking to somebody else. All of how we communicate, which isn't always verbal, it's not always words, can fall into the category of gossip and slander. It can be true, or it can be false information. If it's true information, it might not be sinful gossip. It depends on whether there's any harm intended. So, for example, if I say, I heard Sally got the promotion, is that gossip? That's information. I hope you could tell I wasn't inferring anything there in my tone. That's not gossip in and of itself. Sally got the promotion. Unless someone told me not to say that Sally got the promotion. You know, oh, you never believe, you know, shh. Well, if I now repeat that, I am gossiping, even though the information is true. Or if I say, so, Sally got the promotion. Wonder how she'll treat us little people now. I would say that's entering into sinful gossip. There's a tone there. There's something derogatory about Sally now that she's promoted versus us. So some sarcasm, some tone. Or if I say, I heard Sally got the promotion. What on earth were they thinking? Sinful gossip. But it's all true. Sally did get the promotion. But according to the Bible, I'm gossiping. Because of how I'm saying it, what I'm insinuating, there's some harm intended. There's some negativity. And in Canada, you know, we think it's our, well, it is our legal right to disparage anybody and to badmouth, especially politicians and leaders. And it's our legal right. But according to the Bible, it's not our moral right in how we talk about people. We can disagree. We can be truthful and honest with our views. But how we are referring to the people involved easily moves into gossip, slander, or other things as well. So there's many ways to pass along true information, but it's gossip. Now, if the information is false, this is what the Bible calls slander. And one of the words, the Greek words for slander is diabolos, which is the word Satan. That's one of his names, the slanderer. And just to give you an emotional feel for the word. So if I am lying or misleading in my communication, it's sin. Or I may be simply carelessly passing along unverified information that, okay, I heard it from someone, but it wasn't necessarily true. I don't know for sure that it's true. I didn't talk to the person. I didn't ask them about it. I just passed it on because that was a lot more fun. And that verges, it's certainly gossip, it verges into slander because I'm passing on information I don't even know if it's true. And I may not have disclosed that. So true or not true could be gossip or slander based on how we're communicating. And then secondly, it's communication that is behind the person's back. And this is very telling, isn't it? They're not aware what we're saying about them exactly. And now, somebody said to me after I had shared this talk one time and said, I'm going to tell it to your face, so it's not gossip. Well, fine, but you're right, that's not gossip. But that's another message for another time about speaking rudely or unkindly. He was joking, of course, but that is a different category. But here we're talking about it's behind someone's back. And that tells us something about motive, doesn't it? Because why wouldn't you say this with the person present or in their presence or say it to them? And as soon as I'm sharing something, I wouldn't say to somebody's face, I'm definitely at the door, if not already gone in to gossip and slander. Now, there are times when confidential discussions have to happen about someone because there's a genuine, properly motivated concern of risk, of harm, and we have to be careful with the concerns we might have. So if we think somebody's in danger in a relationship or something, we should think about talking to people in authority or who have a relationship who can deal with the situation. If we're not in that position with the person to deal with a situation or to warn them about something. But by and large, if it's behind someone's back, that's a sure sign that There's probably not a good reason we're not wanting to say it in front of them or with her there. And so thirdly, it's communication about someone, it's behind their back. And thirdly, it's in a harmful way, which could either mean just harmful intent, whether there's any harm in fact, or harmful motivation. The goal of the gossip or the careless result of the gossip is it might harm or damage the person's reputation. It might bring animosity and cause conflict between people. And it hurts the person doing the communicating because that's an immoral act, which is damaging to our character. It's damaging to who we are. It's damaging to the listener to hear this information and maybe enjoy it or maybe get in there, yeah, you know what I heard, and add to it and participate. And of course, it's probably damaging to the person that's being spoken of, which is often the intention, in fact. So sinful gossip is communicating behind someone's back about someone behind their back in a harmful way. And it's important for us to recognize it in ourselves. So let's dig in now and look at a couple of verses about this. We read in Proverbs 16, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. And here a perverse person is really referring to someone who's not straightforward, a dishonest person, a person who will bend the truth and be manipulative. And there's a degree of dishonesty when we say things that we would not say directly to them. And some translations use the term a whisperer here for somebody who gossips, whispers, separates close friends. But we can see that the harm here is separating friends. And think about how fragile friendship is. It takes trust and time and to build a friendship. And think about how quickly it can be destroyed. Has it ever happened that somebody said to you, oh boy, you know what so-and-so said about you? And this is so-and-so is somebody, you know, you enjoy, a friend of yours. And when you hear what they said, you immediately could feel like, I can't believe they said that. Are you kidding me? And just right off the bat, what is the impact on my relationship? Now, sometimes, hopefully, you might say, nah, there's no way they would say that. No, we know each other, we're friends. And hopefully that would be the reaction. But sometimes, and often, we believe what we're hearing, and the harm can be the separation of close friends. So damaging. Proverbs 11, the next verse on the screen there says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps the thing covered. One of the most damaging forms of gossip is telling someone's secret. And here the verse talks about slandering. So you've got somebody's true secret, and then you're mixing in some false information. That's the worst form of gossip because some of it's true. And some of it can be verified, but it's being mixed in. And it's slanderous. The original slanderer, the devil, this is what he did with God's truth. He knew about the tree. He knew about, you know, the restrictions and everything. He just went for one little subtle point. Did God really say you can't eat from it? And then he got more progressed in his lies to Eve. It's important to avoid revealing someone's secret, absolutely. And listening to somebody share what is a secret. It's not something we should be welcoming to hear. Proverbs 12 and 18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Here's a beautiful test for whether I'm gossiping or not. Could my words hurt or will they help? Simple test. Where there is no wood, a fire goes out. But if I'm going to speak, here's a test. Reckless, piercing, or healing? Next verse. Proverbs 18 and 8. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. You know, it's unfortunate that gossip just is so attractive. so often to our sinful natures. It's like eating a beautiful meal like I've been doing all week long and enjoying consuming this information and thinking about there might be some shock to it. There might be some surprise to it. There might be some vengeful, yeah, serves them right kind of reaction that comes within our sin natures. And its appeal, how it feels, is absolutely not a good test for whether it's right or whether it's wrong. And look at the next verse, Proverbs 17. Wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. When we listen with enjoyment, that comes from a place of evil in us. And it's so easily and subtly happens. So sinful gossip is communicating about someone behind their back in a harmful way. The harm can be intentional or it can be careless. The gossip could be true or it could be slander, be false and misleading or unverified. It reveals secrets and it breaks trust. It can ruin relationships and cause division, and it's attractive to our sin nature and can become something we enjoy that we shouldn't at all. So secondly, after we've recognized gossip in ourselves, and you know, it's did you notice as we started looking at those scriptures how quick our speech can turn into and maybe does turn into gossip? Well, what does God think about it? Surprise, surprise. God is strongly offended and opposed to it. He says this in the Law of Moses. You know, we often think that the Old Testament is just about rules and rituals. The Law of Moses is full of God's intent and his heart, along with many other things. And his heart all along is like this. He says, don't spread slander among your people. Don't do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. You know, here slander can be even serious and harmful. I am the Lord. Don't hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. It's always been what God's after, the heart. Here's what we do. Rebuke your neighbor frankly. Be straightforward, be truthful, speak the truth in love. Don't endorse, don't condone, don't share in their guilt. Speak to them when they're wrong. But don't go around slandering and backbiting them behind the scenes. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord your God. Isn't it fascinating, these statements in the New Testament that are quoted, and we know them so well. The Lord quoted it many times. The second greatest commandment is this: love your neighbor as yourself. And look at the paragraph it comes from. A paragraph about slander and speaking badly about somebody. Always been God's feeling on the matter. And then into Proverbs, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. And the seventh, therefore, in this poetic device, is the one he's really going after. Hey, the other six are fair game. They're legit things that the Lord hates, but the seventh takes top spot. A false witness who pours out lies and is six, and a person who stirs up conflict. And that is so often what gossip and slander either is intended to do or at least does do, whether intended or not. And then David says, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? In other words, David is, and he so often wrote about this in the Psalms, about being in God's presence. Who does God enjoy intimacy with? Who does God fellowship closely with? And it's when we seek his fellowship. And when we do that, what are we like? What are the qualities? David often talked about this. And he says, one whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to neighbor and casts no slur on others. And David, he got a lot of slander and gossip against him in his life. And the Lord even quotes from Psalms that talk about this. for the experience that the Lord Jesus himself also had. Adopting God's view of slander. He is absolutely opposed to it. So even when we don't realize we've done it after the fact, it's good to think about, you know, when I was talking that way about so-and-so, how does God feel about it? Think about the law of Moses. Think about Proverbs. Think about the Psalms. Think about everywhere in the Bible how God feels about how we talk about one another. Where there is no wood, a fire goes out. Now, thirdly, we want to not only adopt God's view of it, but avoid its destructiveness. And first of all, what is the destructiveness of gossip and slander? We've looked a little bit at what it does, but let's dig in a little bit more. Proverbs 10 says, "Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool." And Proverbs wants us to be wise and not be a fool. And slander is foolishness, false speaking. It destroys our character. And even as Christians, it diminishes the character development we bring into heaven. It's us. Who have we become as a Christian when we enter heaven? And the Lord wants heaven to have the most glory brought into it. And in our case, the glory we bring into heaven is how we've lived as a reflection of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And people say, you know, we shouldn't talk about rewards because that's kind of mercenary. You know, you're doing it for the rewards. It's not about us getting the rewards as much as it is God's character to wish to reward the things he loves. He wants to see us become more and more of what he loves, his beloved Son. Can we be the best versions of ourselves arriving at when it's our time into heaven? Don't be a fool. And the next verse in Proverbs 16, or 18 rather, "The mouths of fools are their undoing, and the lips are a snare to their very lives." This is simply saying that foolishness and how we use our words, it's self-destructive. It's a snare to my life. I think I'm, you know, one-upping somebody by putting them down verbally. And what am I doing? I'm causing a self-inflicted wound to my character and becoming more and more foolish as I believe the things I say. Oh, I forgot to read. "Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Better not to say than to say and make a mistake. Slow to speak," James says. And here in James chapter 3, we know this, right? The tongue is a fire. And remember, where there's no wood, a fire goes out. But the tongue is a fire. It's a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. If we let gossip and slander go unchecked, and it grows a bit here, grows a bit there, it's going to affect all of us eventually. Our attitudes. I could gain a victim mentality. It's always everybody else's fault, and it's this person did this and that person did that, and I'm shirking my accountability for my role in life, as one example. And it's self-destructive, self-destroying. And even as Christians, we can destroy the potential of our character development that we bring into heaven with us. So recognizing its destructiveness, now let's look at the words of the Lord Jesus, where he says, "But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile him." He said this about all sins. It comes from the heart. Gossip and slander, like pretty much every sin, is a sin of the heart. And to deal with this, we've got to deal with the heart issue. What is it that I'm trying to achieve when I'm actually not even thinking about what I just said about somebody? But what is it underneath causing me to speak that way about them. And as I was studying this topic, thinking I was taking a break from conviction, and you know, this would be one for others, and I'll take a holiday. And I started, the Lord always does this, right? I started remembering at work a colleague who drove me nuts. And I had two reactions as I started to think about this. All my feelings came back about how she drove me nuts, number one, and also the shame that here I am thinking this isn't my thing, and then remembering how I reacted to what she, what I felt she was doing. And I was engaging in some gossip. So this colleague owed my team information every quarter, and there were agreed upon deadlines that she never met. And often my team would be working overtime on a weekend to make up for her and her team's nonchalant, not so big a deal, careless, okay, I need to be careful here. It's going to quickly move into it. So she rarely apologized, and when she did, it didn't feel very sincere, and our mutual boss was not willing to deal with this issue. So during the painful years, I would vent this to some colleagues. The information, I believe, was mostly true, but boy, was it couched in some emotion, some anger. It's venting. And I was judging, I was complaining, and I asked myself, so why? Why did I? It didn't help her meet the deadline. She didn't know most of what I was saying about her to one or two other trusted colleagues. But why? And it just felt better somehow that somebody else, just a few people, knew how bad she was. Does this resonate? And so I realized as I was studying this that, you know, that's what's in the heart. There's got to be better ways to respond and to deal with it. And, you know, as an accountant, that was going way into the emotional side more than one should expect I would go. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me late in the game. But I should have been, at the time, as I reanalyzed going backwards, I should have been praying. And don't you find this when you do pray and you pray for your enemy? This is real life. Yeah, it's just an office spat, but pray for your enemy. Guess what? The Lord's going to do something. At a minimum, he's going to change my attitude in the situation, which is probably the best part of praying for our enemies. And so things ended okay in that situation. I won't bore you with the details. Back to accounting. But it really was an eye-opener, and it's important to go underneath. What is it? Why was I angry? Et cetera, et cetera. Matthew chapter 12. Here's another important reminder to avoid the destructiveness of gossip and slander. And this is what we were saying before about developing our character is our service that we bring back to the Lord as we finish our lives here on earth and we stand before him at his Bema judgment seat. There are different judgments, of course, and for Christians, we're not going to be judged for our sins. Praise God. He has saved us and forgiven us. Jesus, our Lord, was judged on the cross for our sins. But at his Bema, he is now going to assess our service, our faithfulness for him. And it's not just about what we do. It's about who we've become in the journey of faith on life. And here's a good reminder. He says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Ouch. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This reminds me of other concepts of judgment where it says that mercy in the judgment will be given to those who are merciful. By your standard of judgment, you will be judged, is a principle that God will use. And so it is here, by your words you'll be justified. How were you with other people in your words and your thinking? And that's, we will understand and see that when the Lord speaks to us about it. It's a good reminder that everything we say, everything we think is open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. David wrote in Psalm 34, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. We looked at the fear of the Lord, and one of the ways to grow our fear of the Lord is to remember his presence with us, to set the Lord before me, to practice the presence of God, as some have said. So am I practicing the presence of God? That will help me keep my tongue from evil and my lips from telling lies. So we need to recognize gossip for what it is. We need to adopt God's view of it. He is opposed to it, and we need to avoid its destructiveness. It destroys others and friendships and relationships. It's self-destructive to our character, and we want to grow to be more like the Lord Jesus. And finally, we are to cover it in love. Here's the reaction we're looking for. Our tagline verse, chapter 26, verse 20 of Proverbs, where there is no wood, a fire goes out, and where there is no gossip, contention ceases. Step one is to not add any wood to the fire. Whenever we think about wood, sometimes I put stickies in different places at home, sticky notes to remind me of things. It's funny how you can just miss them as you walk by, though. But to remember wood, remember this verse. Anytime you see wood, where there is no wood, a fire goes out. Slander, gossip, how's my speech doing today? That's step number one. And then Proverbs 20, verse 19, the one who goes about gossiping reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with someone who's always opening his mouth. You know, if someone is sharing gossip with you, wisdom says, don't share any secrets with them, because guess what? That could be news for somebody else. Just straightforward, basic wisdom. The company we keep actually does matter on this topic as well. Because if we're always being exposed to somebody who just loves to gossip, then that's just going to grow on us and we'll become that. And what we need to do is to do a timeout with the person and say, well, did you talk to the person about that? Well, then we shouldn't, let's not talk about that. Or, well, do you know if that's really the case, or where did you get that information? And just, and start, you know, politely and lovingly, sure. But at some point, it might be that we have to reduce our exposure to somebody who's not willing to give up on the habit. Now, if it's your spouse or a family member or somebody you're living with, and you can't, remove yourself from their presence on a regular basis, well, that means that you're on a long-term assignment from the Lord to be an influence and to model the way. And the Lord knows your situation, and he will give you the grace to withstand and to be an example and to nevertheless try to reduce and diminish the gossip that is happening in your situation. But reducing our exposure. And next, Proverbs 17 and 9, whoever would foster love covers an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Now, you may be the victim of wrongdoing. It happens to most of us. And unlike my work example, the difficult thing to do is to not vent, to not find a friend to which you can express your desire for vengeance and your satisfaction of them agreeing with you, but instead to cover it over, to absorb it. This is what the Lord Jesus did in forgiving us. He absorbed our sins. He took them as his own. He paid the price for them. And to, if we can, if it doesn't matter, to ignore it. Sometimes gossip is uneventful or it's not going to matter. I think it was George Whitefield who said something like, I'm not worried about clearing up my reputation and what people say about me until it's fully revealed in the day of judgment. And to the extent that we have that ability, that we have that fortitude, we can just let things roll off our back. But if we can't, if that's not us, you know, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men, and we have different thresholds and limits, we may have to deal with the situation. But the one thing we must remember to do as we deal with it is to cover it in love. Instead of multiplying it, letting other people know what was said about me or done to me, and is to try to contain the situation and deal with the person in love. Cover the matter so others don't see it. This is the loving thing to do. And this is so uncomfortably Sermon on the Mount-like and turn the other cheek-like. It definitely has an uncomfortable feeling. It's not really just. And I think because it isn't, forgiveness is releasing the person from what they actually deserve and giving room for recovery and for a chance at a positive relationship with that person in the future. Now, again, if someone's in danger, if there's information that should be shared to protect someone, then that is a different case if the motive is not about being negative on the person, speaking badly about them, but just this might be a true thing, I've heard this, or there's some evidence of it, and to take it to authorities, disclosing exactly, you know, how reliable or not the information may be, because so-and-so, for example, is about to get married to the person, or other relational situations that could be damaging to the person. And in Proverbs 12, verse 16, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Oh, we're still on the Sermon on the Mount feel and turn the other cheek feel here. As 1 Corinthians 13 beautifully states, love does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. So rather than foolishly being irritated and angry, to overlook the insult is a personal reaction to it. Now, if the insult has genuine damage, if something untrue is being said about me, I need to confront that person in love. As the law said, rebuke the person frankly. Be clear, be truthful, be loving, trying to cover it in that situation. But if things are still not reconciled, then we have Matthew 18, the Lord's teaching to bring a witness. And if they still don't listen, take it to the elders. And if they still don't listen, discipline can come from those in authority for a very serious matter. Think about the Lord Jesus. Wow, he was slandered so much during his ministry. I think it was Jamie who mentioned this week the unpardonable sin. It's like your source of power to do miracles is the devil. Talk about the ultimate slander, to be told that the slanderer is the one empowering you, doing what clearly were evidence that God was with him. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. I think Kevin mentioned to me today from Hebrews chapter 12, he endured so much. And 1 Peter 2 says, he committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. When he was maligned, he did not answer back. When he suffered, he threatened no retaliation, but he committed himself to God, who judges justly. What a beautiful example that our Lord displayed when he was paying for my sins. He perfectly models what he asks us to aspire to. And may we do it for his sake. Our last verse is Ephesians 4 and 29, and it says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Are my words gracious? Do they build up? Or am I just throwing wood on the fire? So in a nutshell, the golden rule is what can apply here in gossip and slander. Would I want this to be said about me, or in the tone I'm saying it or thinking it, or to whom I'm saying it? Or am I going to cover gossip in love like the Lord Jesus Christ, who didn't take revenge? Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. So will we recognize sinful gossip for what it is in our lives, adopt God's view of it, avoid its destructive effects, and cover it in love like the Lord Jesus did? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful, gracious Son who lived a perfect life, more than perfect, so beautifully displaying the glory of God in every manner in which a human would act and think and live. And in this topic of slander, of gossip, he only spoke truth. He followed all of the wisdom and the advice. He personified this wisdom perfectly in his life. And when we look at him, we can be, Lord, we can be so convicted about how casual and sloppy we can be with our speech about other people. So we pray and ask your help. Help us to be people of the church who would never wrongfully gossip or slander, but rather cover it in love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.